It is Wednesday the 23rd of November, and this is episode 99 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along. I am Chris, and I am joined tonight by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
The week of Benton.
Benton.
As we've shockingly just found out, it is actually Fenton.
But that is according to the internet. That's the best video. Considering my back has been broken and I am hobbling around like a cripple, that really cheers me up every time.
Laughing hurts, but it's worth watching that video.
You don't know how much pain I'm in every time I laugh. But
if you don't,
I was going to say, thankfully we're doing a podcast, so there's absolutely no chance of me laughing now.
Oh dear. If you don't know what we're talking about, then where have you been? It's the internet meme of the year.
Go to the Poke, as Chris has just said to me, or else search YouTube for Jesus Christ in Richmond, and then. I'm so sore. And then just chuckle.
Don't make him laugh.
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
And it gets better. It matures with age.
Well, I was trapped in a meeting, and I was. It's a bad habit I've gotten into. See, when I'm in a meeting, I'm bored. I just get Twitter out and just go through Twitter, and all I could see was people shouting Benton. And I was thinking, is this something about ER and Dr. Benton? So I'm going.
You've got to be careful about watching videos in meetings.
I didn't watch the video. But I was looking at it thinking, Benton, this must be some ER reference. And it got, I don't know, it was a couple of hours later, and I walked, I said, I must go in. And as I was walking, I was hobbling through the office, and all I could hear was this. And I thought it was Benton, but as we now know, it's Fenton, according to The Guardian. And The Guardian are never wrong, and they always spell everything correctly, all the time.
Never wrong. Their corrections panel is never full of stuff, is it?
Benton.
But yeah, I mean, so so The Poke, Christ. A website I visit recently, they showed their usage stats for when they released this video, and it just went like a massive spike. It was incredible. Anyway, so this is the week of Fenton Benton. However, it's also the week that Best Buy have decided they are going to shut their stores in the UK. So it was, I don't know if it's last year or even this year, where they decided they were going to come over to the UK.
I think it was last year.
Yeah, so 11 stores they opened up, and so that's 1,000 or just over 1,000 jobs now going to be going because they cannot make it. They've basically been losing money.
Yeah, and
it's not a huge brand over here, is it?
No, it's massive in America. It's not huge. I actually thought they had a good chance because I naively thought people are so hacked off with PC World and Currys etc. and Dixons that this is a real shot in the arm, but it just never happened.
I don't think it's because 11 stores isn't enough to make that much impact. And Best Buy in America is known for the place to go to get your stuff cheap. And they just never, there's been no advertising, you know. If you were in the region of them, you probably knew about them. But with only 11 stores, you've got to travel to go there. And that never happened. I mean, they did some good online deals, and it doesn't sound like they're going to stop that side of things. So I think they're going to concentrate on their online and stuff like that.
And it was through the only time I ever saw them was through the Hot UK deals, you know, that because people were posting up, you know, Best Buy are selling this Blu-ray for £3 or something.
Yeah,
but also so I was just going to say Comet sold for a couple of quid.
Yeah So, I mean, sounds like a bargain until you realize that
I was just like, we should have bought them and just renamed them Digital Outbox. That would have been the best thing ever.
We might have had a few debts hanging around our neck.
48 million?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. 48.
Yeah. It's obviously very, very tough time for, you know, retailers of electrical goods. But it's not because sales are poor. It's just because people are shopping online.
People are shopping online. But also, I think times are getting quite tight. You know,
they are, but there's also figures, and we haven't got them here, and It's one of those nice woolly things that I've just heard again.
That means for me, it's one of these nice woolly things that I've just made up and you can't argue with me.
Okay. I'm going to say that I haven't made it up, but I might well be making it. No, the sales for gadgets and you know, gadgety type goods is higher than ever. Record sales in that kind of arena.
This is a historic moment. You have just qualified as an analyst. You can now proclaim in all sorts of nonsense online.
I'm sure analysts are supposed to cite their sources, aren't they?
Well, what's all the sources for iPhone 5?
Well, it's true, yeah. Well, I'm my doing as good a job as they are. What I heard was... anyway, the sales in that kind of arena that they specialise in haven't flopped. It's just, I think, having the overheads of these massive stores is no longer... needed by the general public, and I think they've turned on to the the Amazon way of thinking, I guess. Let's go on to Google Plus. So they have reduced their requirements for being an actual person to sign up for Google Plus, and now you can be an entity or a brand and have Google Plus pages.
You can be a being on Google Plus.
And you can
the thing that's a bit odd about this is they've taken quite a long time to launch brand pages, and they've been really strict about you must use your real name. You can't even be Dr. Chris.
You can't be a pen name.
No. So there was no sweepers on Google Plus. But they've rolled out these brand pages, and anybody can create the page. There is a way of authenticating, but that's after the point. And when I managed to create three. It was all quite confusing. And if I create a digital outbox page like I did, I can't add you as an admin. It's only me that can admin it.
Right. So people could be stealing brands left, right, and centre.
Yeah, or...
Quick, let's make a Benton page.
Exactly. Or as one of the other podcasts I was watching pointed out, you could easily have a Coca-Cola page with a Pepsi logo.
Yeah,
And there's no real control. So but they've said all that will come, but it just seems a strange. It's taken so long to roll out, and then for a brand, it's really important that there's a marketing team behind it. It's not just one person that goes and creates a brand.
Do you get the feeling? I love Google, but they are a bit flaky, aren't they? They're a bit weak and woolly. Their approach is becoming more and more apparent, which is really work quick, work to get things out, do the really fun techie bits. Well, I mean, for geeky, it's geeky fun, isn't it? Get the technical side of things kind of working, but never ever put that polish and sheen, the consumer edge onto it.
No.
And it's telling at the moment because nothing ever feels finished.
I think they're going through a really big change. I mean, there's another announcement today just to the things that they're shutting down, so they've confirmed that Wave's going and Knoll is going, and there was something else that's going, and I think we knew about them already. And I got an email today about Google Health being shut down, and there's it's clear they're going through quite a radical change. Everything's through Google Plus as well.
Let's consolidate. Google Plus is the thing they're throwing behind at the moment. Everything they're doing is, all their chat now, as you said earlier on, is you said earlier on to be not on the podcast, has now included all your circles automatically.
Yes.
It's not just chat anymore with the people that you had in your contact list.
And the unification of the UI. I think we're seeing that consistent UI everywhere now. I'll talk about it later on. The refreshed iPad app is excellent. There's definitely pockets of greatness everywhere, but there's some things starting to feel just a little bit, I don't know, there's a little bit, as you're saying, it all feels a bit rushed and a bit scattergun, even more so than before. But they're in catch-up mode. Plus is a catch-up product.
Yeah, and maybe it's just become more apparent recently because they're maturing as a company. They're not just catering for geeks anymore.
No.
They're not just looking, it's not people just looking for APIs which they can make use of anymore. It's actually people coming along with an actual requirement to be user friendly. And maybe that's what they're struggling with. I mean, even their, the Android operating system and things, they're still struggling to catch up with it, basically.
But I think the new version looks lovely, I must admit. I've still not seen one in the flesh, actually, but all the reviews, that for me is, it just looks really good.
It does look good. I mean, from what I've heard, is it works a lot better on a tablet than it does on a small phone. And there's still elements which don't, you know, some pages look different for no apparent reason, you know, so there's still that kind of jarringness of feeling a little bit Unix, you know, or Linux, in fact. So there's still that element, and apparently there's still that kind of feeling of a little bit of sluggishness in the operating system, which I have to say is bugging me more and more. Imperceptible almost, but it just somehow it grinds you down a bit.
But then,
and also the fact that, you know, I've got Google's last Google phone, the Nexus S, and I still don't know I know I'm going to get the update, but I still don't know when.
Yeah, it could be 6 months.
And it doesn't sound like it's going to be, but when I bought that phone, you know, Google was all about this is the phone that we're going to keep up to date. We're going to keep all the updates going. And what have I seen since we started? I've had one update. And as soon as their next phone's released, it almost feels like you're not on their mind anymore, because all, you know, the Nexus page is now all about the I can't remember what they call it now, the Nexus Next. I can't remember what they called it. What's the new phone that's come out?
It's the Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, so it's all these bloody Nexuses. I don't really know what's going on, but yeah, I am now no longer their star pupil. And won't be, because I'm not buying the next one.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, yes, pages for brands. So go sign up, and anyone can do it, and struggle to get verified.
Or you can get, there's a couple of things you can do with verification. You can add a bit of code into your website so that it'll eventually come back and say, right, I know this page is the actual one for this particular brand. But that's assuming the brand has a known website. And there's issues about what happens if you've got multiple brands. If you're if you're one of these food manufacturers that has, 40,000 brands, have they got 40,000 websites? And it all becomes a bit more complex.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm sure they will sort it out in the end. But these are the kind of things that maybe they should be sorting out straight away. Adobe have decided, or they have announced, that they are now no longer going to support Flash on mobile devices. They will no longer be developing for it. Another big, that was a selling point for Android to start with, wasn't it? The TV adverts were built around it. But nope, they're gonna kill it. And I can't say that too many people are now upset by that, because it's never really worked on mobile phones. It's clunky, slow, and just you can tell when Flash is running on a web page, because it slows everything down.
And I think, you'll have seen it. I think you saw it more markedly when you moved from Windows to Mac, and you realised that the Flash plugin in Mac as well was quite a turd.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
it's really, really bad.
And I remember with the old laptop, I knew when there was a plugin, or when Flash was running somewhere, because the fan would just kick in ever so slightly, and you're like, oh, that.
And it's things like you can't scroll when you've got your mouse over the top of the Flash plugin for some reason. It doesn't let you do that. So it's all a bit, it's all a bit flaky. Wow. But anyway, so they've decided they're going to kill it off, and it probably means the desktop will follow. I can't imagine they're going to keep that strand going too long.
Especially the last year has been all about how the internet is going to be the mobile internet. It's not just the people sitting at home on their desktops. So killing this off is really, I think it's almost the beginning of the end. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it might be a bit soon, because HTML5 is
not ready
for this.
No, I agree. No.
And it's things like there's no consensus on movie formats. So yes, it's nice and easy to implement an HTML5 movie onto a page, but it's not easy to do that for multiple browsers, or getting it to work in all sorts of browsers.
No.
You have to effectively have at least two formats to fall back to in order to have that happen.
And despite HTML5,
it's not ready.
HTML5, is a really quite a massive step forward, but it's not the be all and end all. It doesn't replace.
Flash has its place, and it always has had its place. Unfortunately, it gets misused and misappropriated, which makes it horrible. But there's still things that Flash can do that HTML5 hasn't got a hope in hell of doing.
No, and I still think at the moment there's still a place for that. But I think that's going to rapidly start to change.
It is. It's becoming less and less. And when you really start seeing what you can do with HTML5, it's incredible. But I mean, it's still very much a niche arena at the moment. There's not a lot of people doing a lot of it, shall we say.
I've also saw.
So therefore, there's the tools aren't there.
Yeah. No. Agreed. We also saw Silverlight looks to be in the way out as well. So that it looks like the next release will be the last release of that particular plugin.
Never really made it, did it? Silverlight, just waste of time, really. It did video very well, apparently, and it had its own inbuilt sort of downgrading, scaling, and things, so that if you're on a lower connection, you could still enjoy the movie, and it, you know, it would ramp itself up over time if your connection was just about strong enough. Whatever. So clever stuff, but just gone. Not really a need for it, was there?
No.
No. But then I guess it's easy to say that in hindsight.
And 3-4 years ago, there was no alternatives. You know, so no. we're in a different place.
Look, 3-4 years ago, it was still a novelty to see a video in your browser. And, you know, this is how amazing things move on. You know, we forget very quickly how far we've come in a short time.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube.
How old is YouTube? Not that.
6 years.
Yeah, so it's... And I still remember the very early days of that when it was like, wow, I can watch movies. And then it was like, wow, I can upload movies. And it's just amazing. Call of Duty, they're raking it in
big style, despite Brian's attempts at dismissing it as a game of evil.
Well, there's no denying that,
but it's scary just how much money it's taken in. So when I first threw this story in, it was the one day sales, and so within 24 hours it had actually made 400 million within one day. But after 5 days, it totaled $775 million, which is phenomenal.
Which is, I do wonder with games how long do they remain an input, you know, an income stream? Is it one of those things where they just sell straight away, and everyone picks up the game that they're going to pick up on pre-order, whatever, or does it last over several days? Well, I guess 5 days shows that they've almost doubled it in 5 days.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long. I don't know if there's a sharp tail off. I guess there is.
I think it depends on the game. I think there's going to be some games where I think you'll see. I'm thinking of, you know, almost like the kind of sleeper hits that come out. But these big AAA titles, I reckon you've got first week sales must dwarf, you know, probably everything else combined.
Yeah, I mean, cinemas, they obviously have a set. I mean, there's a comparison here, isn't there? So, Call of Duty, the latest one, $775 million in 5 days. Compared to the biggest grossing ever film, Dark Knight, of $203 million. But I guess there are finite seats, aren't there, in available for a cinema in that many days, whereas you can have as many games as you want, or you can manufacture, basically.
Yeah, but also it's just that the fact that, I mean, the games are expensive, you know, so we are in tight times, and they still seem to be phenomenal sellers.
Yeah, I mean, it's £40, so whatever, it's probably $60, isn't it, at least.
I actually preferred this one as well. I thought this one was actually a lot better than the previous one.
I still intend to get back to it. I haven't played it since our last escapade. I think it was after the last podcast. But anyway, whether I will or not, who knows? Who knows? A lot of money just to play it twice, isn't it?
It's never stopped us before.
That's true. 4G, that thing that the Americans keep going on about coming over here. Well, we've already had trials and tests in certain parts of the UK, including Cornwall, apparently. But they are bringing the first large scale test. They bring it to London, Canary Wharf region. They know their market for about 1,000 users. That will get specially invited. It's not just this open trial. But 4G being the, you know, it's supposed to be faster than landline broadband, right?
Yes.
Over the mobile networks.
And I just remembered there was a tweet this morning saying that the BBC had a post on it, and I'm just looking at the post today. They actually did some broadcast trials using the network. So they were doing some trials today. They got speeds of around 35 megabits.
Wow.
And that was at the O2 in East London.
That's impressive.
No, that was the network in Soho, but at the O2 in East London, they were getting speeds of up to 90 megabits.
So it's pretty incredible technology. I mean, I mean, America seem to be romping ahead with this. They've already got whole networks and phones that use those networks. But it's one of those standards that's never been defined down, and everyone calls a different thing. You know, 4G means a lot of different things. And it might mean that actually we've, by delaying our implementations, we actually got it right, because we might actually get a network that's worthwhile having.
And as you said,
but it's good use for potentially for rural areas if they can put masts up.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's another one of these things where I'm sure because it's mobile, it's going to cost a fortune. And secondly, I'm sure because it's mobile, although these are fantastic figures, whether their networks can actually hold all that data for actual consumers using it as they would like to use it, rather than as they think we should be using
it. Yeah, does it scale? I think that's my main worry. Will it scale? Because I mean, the speeds are amazing. You know,
as soon as you can get those kind of speeds, it means you can download movies as you can on your PC, and can the network cope with people wanting to do that? Don't know. We are yet to see, and I guess that's why they're doing trials.
And it's a couple of years away still. You know, so they're talking about probably more like 2013 before we actually get our paws on phones and the technology.
Yes. And in, I guess, associated news, with there's been a report into our current state of landline broadband, and it's pretty poor at peak times. I don't think anyone needed to do a report to know that.
No,
but they have now done some research.
They've done a report. So this is
who's done the research? I don't even know.
Study by Uswitch. They analysed data from 2 million broadband speed tests across Britain, which seems quite a lot of data for something that is particularly obvious. Basically, between
I had to be sure.
Yeah, but between 7 and 9, your broadband connection gets quite slow, and between 2 and 3 in the morning, that's its quickest.
It's amazing.
Exactly. I think some analyst said that one.
Still is. So if you want to watch Fenton without delay, do it at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it's a fair old drop. I mean, it's dropping 35%. You know, so that's
including fibre, which doesn't drop as much. So if you just go by, you know, your basic BT backplane, you know, broadband, I think that drops more. And if you live in Evesham, you can lose up to 65% of your speed.
Yeah, I mean...
So shame on you. Shame on you.
It's quite smug.
Shame for you.
I'm quite smug. I did a speed test the other day and it was 50.04 meg. And that was about now. I'll do another one just to see what we're at. And obviously...
So whilst we've already got a Skype hangout going with video and everything like that. So
yeah.
Depress me.
Hold on. It's not that quick.
It's not that quick.
49.6 meg.
I'm not even going to try mine. A report that we knew all about anyway, but they've now announced.
It makes a big difference to upload. Stats. That's quite surprising. Uploads instead of being 4.7 meg, it's 4.5. Anyway.
To get the violins out. It's a real shame. I guess the other news of this week, now we don't normally, well, that's not true. We do cover American news. Especially when we're jealous.
We're jealous
about this. Yeah, because they have, first of all, they've had the Kindle Fire launch. So that product is now out in the wild. And generally speaking, people are positive about it. They reckon it's hands down the best Android tablet you can get. It's a different concept. So as long as you're happy to consume Amazon's media, and why wouldn't you be, it works well.
I don't think there's any surprises. It's a $200 tablet. Screen's smaller, so magazines and such are a little bit tricky to read. There's a little bit of slugginess with software, but that, to me, that can be fixed. You know, there's always potential. I mean, there's certainly been dodgy iOS, you know, software that's come out that's been sluggish and then it's been fixed in, you know, subsequent patches. I actually still think it's a good device. You just need to factor in it's not an iPad. There is a difference. So
it's meant for media consumption. I mean, yeah. There's no concept of, you know, that their home is you logged into their services, and you know you've got movies available straight away. Any music you've bought is available. It's just all those kind of things, and it's it's a clever positioning tool, basically.
And hopefully,
and it will make people use their services.
Hopefully, I'll have my hands on one soon because one of my friends is picking one up.
Yeah. Picking one up for you or picking one up for him?
He's picking one up for him. I know I buy lots of gadgets, but
I mean, I my query on that would be: do you need a US? I guess you need a US Amazon account to actually start consuming all these things. I doubt whether it hooks up.
Yeah, no, and he does have.
Yeah. Okay. So also they've had Google have announced their music service. In fact, well, the iTunes Match has now officially launched. So you can now pay for that subscription and upload all your pirated songs, or not upload them as it may case may be.
Yes.
Officially and legitimately listen to your pirated songs.
And surprise, surprise, it was overwhelmed on day one. So they switched it on, and within a couple of hours, they had to say, like, hold on. We are
Whoa
swamped.
There, guys. Whoa. Yeah.
Generally positive, I guess, much like the Kindle Fire, generally positive with the odd little pocket of negativity. I think what's confusing a lot of people is just how it works and what it actually means. And also that. I think it's the usual way Apple stuff now. You don't get much instructions. So people are alarmed when it says they fired up iTunes and it said, I'm going to replace your library, which if you've nurtured your music library over the last, you know, 7-8 years, it's like, oh, what does that
don't
mean?
Don't touch that.
Exactly.
Don't touch it.
My instant reaction would be, no, you're not. But the
absolutely.
But generally positive. A few false positives round about it matching against MP3s. But that's no big surprise with the amount of music that's out there. They're not going to get 100%. Even getting 99% still means there's thousands of tracks not getting matched properly. So,
yeah, I mean, from if you had built the service, you'd say 99% is pretty darn good. But if you're one of the people that's suffering that doesn't recognise any of your music, you must feel a bit frustrated by that.
Yes, and also there's some people complaining it's only 25,000 tracks.
And those people have definitely got pirated songs in their library, so they could just shut up. And done. Jesus Christ.
And I would, I know this. There was a rumor that it was going to come to the UK by the end of the year. I still don't see it, you know, being switched on. It was a couple of weeks late in America for no apparent reason.
And it seems like it's a blooming nuisance, our country, or in fact, Europe, shall we say, because Google Music has now launched as well. So they've got an equivalent service, which they're not charging for. And again, you can have 20,000 songs on their service, and it's a similar idea. So you can buy a track and it sits in your locker and you can stream it on any device.
And you can, well, it's quite nice as well. You can, if you've purchased an album, you can share it in Google Reader, not Google Reader, Google Plus. And I can then have a full listen of that album or that single. You know,
it's a one-time listen.
I thought that was quite a neat way of actually getting out music. I mean, if you think Spotify, a lot of the time with Spotify, I will go and just listen to an album and then make a decision about, do I actually enjoy that? So to see that in Google Plus, I thought it was quite nice.
No, it's definitely a feature. I think people have been saying they would probably quite like to see that spread to Facebook, and, you know, if you're going to do social, why not do it all? But I think step at a time on this. Also, they're trying to drive people to Google Plus, so it's one reason to do that.
Exactly.
And secondly, the chances are the music industry wouldn't take it if you said you could share it anywhere. They wouldn't. I imagine that some of the restrictions is the fact that it's only being shared on Google Plus at the moment.
And I wonder because Facebook had that kind of deal with Spotify and a couple others. I wonder if there's certain licensing deals that are in there. I know Spotify have got an event next week where they say they're going to announce some changes, so that'll be interesting.
And I thought an interesting thing was they got three of the four big labels on board, which weren't expecting. They reckon they've got about 2,000 labels if you include all the independents and the, you know, millions and millions of tracks. So it, definitely a step for the good in the US, but no sign and no announcements that it's going to come over here. I mean, which is a bit disappointing.
But it's three big services that I would almost definitely probably, I'd be interested in buying a Fire just for the sake of it. You know, in some ways it's that cheap a price that, you know, if it was 130 quid, 140, probably end up more like 180.
But it's
just very tempting.
Yeah, yes, I have no idea what my point was. Really important point, as ever.
Excellent.
So that is our news done.
Yeah.
That is our news done. It's amazing.
Good job.
Good job, yeah. Let's do some picks. I mean, my picks aren't really so much picks as just things I have been playing on my iPad.
And my picks aren't so much picks, but things I've been downloading on my iPad.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
With your fat broadband. So I am fully addicted. I know I'm late on this, but I'm fully addicted to Tiny Tower. I have no idea why. It's the most inane, mundane, boring, stupid, repetitive thing ever. Yet I can't help building my tower taller and adding bitizens.
I refuse to do it.
I think you should.
No.
It constantly calls you back and it sucks your battery dry. Anyway, so that's one thing that ticking over. Game called Groove, which is a sort of rhythm game, but it's got some interesting tracks going on, and it's almost a rhythm game with a graphic style similar to what was that game you played loads of that was Xbox with almost like Asteroids but mental?
Galaxy Wars.
Was it that? I can't remember. Anyway, it sounds a similar idea. Anyway, so it's pretty clever. And
the one that was in PGR.
Yes, that one. Anyway, so the graphics like that. Another game called Welder, which is W.E.L.D.E.R.
Geometry Wars. I know it wasn't Galaxy.
There's Geometry Wars. That's the badger. Welder. Yes. So that's a word game. I hate word games. So the fact that I've even played it once is pretty incredible. And it's quite clever. And quite Moorish. Finally, yes, I also bought the Poke app. Purely, I mean, I've enjoyed the Poke for a long while now as a Twitter stream.
I just love you saying I've enjoyed the Poke.
but I bought the app to support them, and I think you should too, because the more that they bring out videos like Benton, the better.
So how much is the Poke app?
I think it was like £2, maybe. I can't remember now.
Wow, because Welder's only 69p. I've just bought that.
There you go.
There you go. Let's find out. this is stunning. This is
podcast gold.
The Poke.
I was going to ask for your downloads now, but you look distracted.
$1.99 for the Poke.
Okay. So yeah, support the cause.
So have I. Just bought.
Benton. Benton. Jesus Christ. Benton.
Oh, but the Poke contains age restricted material. Oh no.
If you don't follow Poke on Twitter, you should. It brings joy to your life.
I just bought Welder and it didn't appear anywhere.
Come on.
So I quite like Newsstand on the iPad. I've been enjoying the Guardian app. And there's been three apps over the last couple of days that I've kind of spotted. I think two have been out for a while. And the only reason I spotted them is because I can't sleep because of the sore back. I've just been getting the iPad out and doing stuff. Last night was basically just downloading apps. So middle of the night, downloaded about 20 apps and deleted 17 of them.
Yeah, it's very easy to do that.
But three are stuck. The first one is called Editions. This came out in the US about 2-3 months ago, maybe a bit longer. It's from AOL. And you basically put in your postcode, say which country you're in, and also pick the topics, and each day it will generate a magazine for you. And you can pick a time when you actually say you want it delivered. It doesn't use Newsstand, so it doesn't download in the background. But at 5 to 6 this morning, I got a little doo-doo. I downloaded it, and it's basically almost just another PDF mag, but it's all cached offline. So if you were going on a flight, it's almost like yesterday's news and technology, you know, British news, sport, and music. And you can, it's packaged up quite nicely.
I mean, obviously, Flipboard does that,
and it's a bit like,
but is it better because it does cache it, and you know it's like an addition rather than a stream, if you like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's not live, but I thought it was a nice way of capturing some content before you maybe jump on a train or a flight or whatever.
I like it, yeah,
and
I
it's
like
free.
It a lot.
It's free, so, and it's quite nicely done. It's a bit slow opening. It's a bit strange that it downloads all this and caches it, and then when you click to open, it seems to take an age. But I'm putting that down to the iPad One. I'm sure I'm in the Apple trap of iOS 5's out on my Apple One and everything feels slow.
Yeah. what the sauce is like. I mean, do you get to entirely choose the sauces, or does it have a selection that you pick from?
It just looks like it's categories that they're choosing from. But the first, because I downloaded the American one, and I was instantly frustrated that it just was purely American news. But I thought the model worked quite well, so I totally missed it. It was coming out in the UK. I think it's been out for a couple of weeks.
So what's that called? Sorry.
Editions.
I will have a look for that now. Is that your pick? I thought we said there's two things you were going to do today.
There's three, and there's more.
Oh, there's three. How exciting! I'll have a look then.
A second almost magazine type application is from Engadget, and it's called Distro, D-I-S-T-R-O. Basically, it's Engadget packaging up into a magazine format their best weekly stories. And you can download it once a week and, again, read it almost offline. But I thought it was a great way of, we're not always plugged in. I mean, I don't keep up with the feeds as much as I used to. I just find things, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. You can't get caught up. Another really easy way of just getting a once a week magazine. And also, because there was slightly more long form articles in it, it was a better place to almost catch up and read rather than just getting caught up in the, I need a bit of news. A lot of the feeds are all instant, read a half a paragraph and you think you've got the whole story.
Yeah. So yeah, you headline Trump, don't you? You just go down it and you just pick out the ones that you think you want to read, but actually you probably miss quite a lot by doing that.
Yes. So that was my second little pick, mini pick. Call them mini picks. The third one I love, the Google search app for the iPad was never, I never really liked it much. It was just, it almost just felt like
I just didn't see the point of it.
No.
You know, you go on Safari, you found Google search, and it pretty much did exactly the same.
And they announced this week that they'd updated their search. That's interesting because I've got Wilder on my iPad and it never appeared on my iPhone.
Good old iCloud.
Exactly. Totally flawed. So they announced this and I was like, yeah. And I got the update and I fired up the app and it's actually lovely. This is like the best Google iOS app ever.
I watched the video online of the features of it and it did look pretty incredible.
Yeah. So basically when you start it up, I'll turn it around so Chris can see it, but there's no point. But you start it up and you just think you're in today's Google, you know, start page because it's got a little animation. And you can see history, applications, voice search, and also you can authenticate in. And it's done, it's got the kind of Google Plus look and feel, so that all the kind of new look and feel. The interesting one for me isn't the voice search or even just searching. It was hitting applications, and instantly you're taken to a page of applications like Google Chrome. It's almost like they've snuck in Google Chrome into your iPad. So I can then instantly access Gmail, Calendar, Docs, News, Google Plus Reader, Photos, Maps, YouTube, Translate, Finance, and Earth. I mean, I open one of them up. I mean, if I open up Google Plus, for example, it actually opens into almost a little browser, tabbed browser frame, which I can then, and it's got all the Google Plus functionality, but I can then swipe it off to the side and you've still got access to your, you know, so it's like a two-page.
So it's almost, like you say, it's almost by stealth they've put in an almost like a Google Apps.
And it feels like I'm using Chrome. That was the first. That is what I feel like when I look at all the icons and the way it's styled. I'm looking back at my Mac just now, and it does feel like I'm using Chrome. So even when I do a search, apart from it's really slow, but if I do a search for myself because I'm so vain, and you get all the results back. If you go to images, the images can be viewed. But if I go and view one of them, the first one, you then just swipe through, and that's your Google Image search. It's a lovely, lovely app.
So your Google Image search is like a carousel type effect where you can just swipe from image to image. Yeah, I mean, when I watched the video, it just seemed to make sense of a lot of things. So where they've been recently taking screen grabs of all the home pages to add next to your search results, they've integrated those into a nice carousel way of searching. And you can do things like you swipe through your search results and looking at the home pages rather than the sort of just the title of the pages. And so it makes all much more sense. And it kind of makes sense of it's like to say everything they've been doing recently. So
it was
good on them.
It was an instant move to my front page on the iPad because I think I'm probably now going to dive into the Google app rather than Safari if I was just wanting to do a quick search.
And why wouldn't you? Because it's almost like it's obviously going to have Safari integrated into it anyway. Because every time you go off from the search end results, you go into the pages. But it kind of keeps Google, it's very clever, it keeps Google search as front and center as for your internet experience, which I guess is actually pretty much what how you use the internet nowadays. That is for the majority of people how they use the internet.
And also
Google search into site content.
It's also a bit of a stab at, if you think of Siri, and a lot of people are saying, well, they'll just bring back Google search results, but without the Google adverts. Not if you've got a great app that you need to launch to get to, you know, to also make it easier. And if they ever swap over to Bing, there's always been rumours that, you know, what if Apple swapped to Bing? And it's like, well, I've got a Google app.
There's still an app there now, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All done.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank Fenton.
Fenton!
Right. If you would like to find out more about us, you can do so at www.digitaloutbox.com. We're on the email, you know, that model fangirl email?
The email.
Yeah, like that. info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. If you want to find out more about me, you can do Cheesy UK on Twitter. And Ian, where can we find about you?
IanD.net is my blog. Sweeper is my Twitter. And the poll cap's actually quite nicely done. Good pick.
Yeah, it's good for phone. It's not an iPad based one, but it's good that you can go through its images of the week. It's good. Enjoy the poke. And we will talk at you next time when it will be our 100th episode.
Ooh.
How exciting. Will we do anything special? Probably not. I might put on a shirt or something.
Maybe I'll be shut and tied. Maybe that's what I need to do. Put a suit on.
Rather than naked, as I normally do it.
But you like my nipples.
Do you like my sexy nipples? Right, let's go. Let's go before this carries on.
Bye.
I'll speak to you next week.
Do you want me to say bye again? Bye.
Bye.
I don't even know why you're holding your forehead.
It's just that time. It's a forehead holding time.
As long as it's not your fourth. No, don't go there.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Benton!
That's the best thing ever.